J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Don't yell, you might frighten Joe Buck.
He's brave.
JC, you man, Sparky Mac on KHITS 96, and we welcome the affable Cardinals broadcaster and host of everything I think they do on Fox right now that's sports related. It would be Joe Buck. And Joe, good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Affable's a good word, affable, right? It's a flattering word.
ACT word of the day, yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Joe, John Hewlett here. You know, I've known you since you were 13.
That's all you're giving me credit for?
Yeah, I used to come down to the PA booth, stand there.
Did you have to get that out of the line, Joe?
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay.
That's what the staff's for.
No.
Somebody
get
an Emmy, get a staff.
Come on, people.
Have, can't go to good help, man.
Joe, just have Bitterman get the phone, okay?
Bitterman? Draw my bath and get the phone. I won Sportscaster of the Year.
Yes. And tell him about the Emmy. Go ahead.
And I got an Emmy, too.
He's using the Emmy to prop open the bathroom door.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Joe, you've just come such a long way since those days.
Yeah.
Just a little kid hanging around the
press
box.
Who hasn't come a long way since they were 13?
Yeah, but how about, he's light years further than any of the rest of us.
Yeah, good point.
That is unbelievable.
John, you know what? I would bet that you've come a long way since you were 13.
Not really.
Not the same distance.
Joe, not if you're talking wardrobe.
That's true.
You're paying more in taxes than I'm earning here, buddy. So I think that's light years.
John, do you have a question or just a series of aspersions being cast on Joe's character?
I'm here to attack him. Yeah, right. Joe's a great guy.
Can I ask you a really, honest to God, seriously personal question?
Yeah.
Okay. You are around these young ball players who oftentimes are, I guess, in starring roles, I guess you would say, for the first time in their lives. And many of them, quite frankly, don't handle it very well. You see it happening all the time. We hear about it, and it happens more than we even hear about it.
My two cents worth on this whole topic is it's a lot of the guys that aren't really that good looking that don't handle it well, and I'll tell you why. Because it's guys that never got girls
never
in high school
chance.
Or college or those early years, but now they're professional athletes or now they're professional whatever that puts them in a spotlight. Now they've got women coming after them for the wrong reasons, and then they just go hog wild. And it's the better looking guys in my unscientific research that handle it better than the average / ugly guys.
I agree 100%.
How about that?
Perfect. Now you're surrounded by girls. You have two daughters, right?
Exactly. And two daughters and my wife, and it's a living hell.
I'll tell you. Well, you're talking to two men that can relate. We got all daughters, too. Between the three of us, seven girls.
I know. Oh.
Yeah. We think we sat too close to the transmitter in Crestwood.
Something happened.
Yeah,
something
exactly.
happened.
Joe, in a couple of months, we'll be sort of commemorating the loss of your father. Has there been any talk about how that is going to be sort of a officially or not officially commemorated this summer?
I have. If there has been, I haven't heard about it.
Yep.
You know, that'll obviously take place in June, and you know, it's been a long, crazy year. But I keep telling everybody, it's been a wonderful year in many different respects, and a lot of it has to do with all the love and prayers that he got back at him, and all of us and his family, all the support we got was phenomenal.
And not intended to be maudlin at all, but are there moments where you're on the air in the broadcast booth particularly and you look over and you think you see him, stuff like that?
Well, the thing that gets me is when I'm at the ballpark and they'll play, like last night they did an Ozzie Smith bit on the message board, and there's my dad talking about Ozzie, or when they show him singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game in Wrigley Field. Those are the ones that get me when they kind of come out of nowhere. Otherwise, I can, you know, I'm reminded of them everywhere I go from everybody I see. So it's just constant along those lines.
Now I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before. It's like deja vu all over again.
Hi. Let's check the calendar this time and make sure we got the right date as opposed to yesterday when I told you during the entire podcast the wrong date. So let me just lean over here. Yes, now it's Wednesday the 26th. Of May 2021. Did I mention hi? Hi. How are you? It's JC. This Friends reunion thing better be good because I'm getting tired of hearing about it already. And you do have to wonder whether we're being manipulated by the people promoting this thing about Matthew Perry, who's had drug and alcohol issues and all sorts of stuff that he's dealing with and apparently has been dealing with. Go ahead, click on an episode of Friends. It's on somewhere on some channel 24 hours a day. At least that's what it seems like. And you go on there, and he's got a very, very skinny head. And you see him now, and his head is like four times as wide. He's got Vince Vaughn's disease. You know, I think the first time I ever saw Vince Vaughn, he played the quarterback in the movie Rudy, and he's another one. And Alec Baldwin is another one. All three of these guys had very, very narrow, very, very skinny heads. And now you look at them, and their heads are at least 2 to 3 times, maybe even 4 times as wide. I can speak of this too because I'm pretty sure the same thing has happened to me. I've always had a sort of giant. We used to call it when we were kids. You had a pie face. Anyhow, they're saying that this promo that they put out, like a little teaser of the Friends reunion, Matthew Perry's speech was slurred, and people are like, is he fucked up doing this too? And they're saying now that he's been in pain from what did he say? Emergency dental work. I don't know if I'm buying that or not. I just don't. If you're a politician, don't pick a fight with somebody who is a creative individual. Don't pick a fight with a comedian, that's for sure. And a creative person like Richard Marx. It don't mean nothing if you don't see it on the dotted line. Senator Rand Paul, who's been saying a string of ridiculous things here for the last couple of years. Anyhow, Rand Paul blamed Richard Marx when he got a suspicious package of white powder in the mail because Marx had joked on Twitter about taking the guy who beat Rand Paul up in 2017 out for drinks. There was a pile of like leaves or refuse or something like that on the property line between Rand Paul and his next door neighbor. And somehow these two ended up on the front lawn arguing about it. And next thing you know, Rand Paul ended up with like four broken ribs. And the guy really fucked him up pretty good. Richard Marx wants to take the guy out for a drink. Oh, Slash, and it says here, has a funny habit. I wouldn't classify it as funny because he drools while performing his guitar solos. The sound engineer from Appetite for Destruction says he doesn't realize he's drooling or he doesn't care. I never did figure out which one it was. If you're drooling and you don't know you're drooling, I mean, come on. And yet somehow, because you're in a rock and roll band, you're on stage, you still get chicks. Well, honey, I drool. The 2020, this is hard to say. The 2020-2021 TV season is in the books. Everything's in reruns now until September. So here are the 10 most watched series of the year. We start at number 10, which is actually a tie between The Bachelorette and The Bachelor. 9-1-1 on Fox is ninth. Thursday Night Football at 6. Grey's Anatomy, The Equalizer, The Masked Singer is 4. This Is Us in fourth place. Monday Night Football on ESPN 3rd. Thursday Night Football on Fox number 2. And Sunday Night Football on NBC number 1. Late Night Tonight, Jimmy Fallon's got Sofia Vergara. Emily Blunt on with Kimmel. Colbert's got Will Arnett. Jonas Brothers pop up on James Corden, and Seth Meyers as John Krasinski. Alyssa Milano still dealing with long-haul COVID symptoms. I don't know if you've seen these new hats that are out. I just thought it was the Cardinals, but it turns out this is an entire league-wide thing where you buy a baseball hat now and it has your team's logo on it, but it also has something indigenous to your home city. For example, on the Cardinals hat, there's a giant toasted ravioli on, okay? And apparently people hate these hats, according to the internet, at least. Birthdays today, Matt Stone from South Park, 50. Helena Bonham Carter, 55. Lenny Kravitz, 57. Bobcat Goldthwait, 59. Philip Michael Thomas. This was the guy who played Tubbs on Miami Vice. You know, he did that show, and in the mid-80s, I don't think there was anything more popular on TV. And then, boom, just gone. And I don't know if that was his choice or not, but he's 72 today. And Pam Grier from the 1970s blaxploitation movies is 72. Stevie Nicks, 73. Brent Musburger is 82. Interesting story about Brent Musburger. When I was a kid growing up in Chicago, and especially like in high school and college, Brent Musburger was the local CBS local affiliate, a sportscaster. And he was really good, too. Very popular. He's from Montana, and it was easy to spot walking around downtown Chicago in the Loop. He's wearing a cowboy hat and boots. He sort of didn't fit in, but it didn't bother him. He just did what he felt like because he's from Montana, right? So this was back in the, I'm going to say, mid-90s, and I'm doing some work at the radio station on a Saturday afternoon. I frequently had to do that to sort of catch up and archive things, and that's why we have so many archived things, is because I saved everything over the course of the last 37 years. So I'm I'm walking down the hallway of the radio station, and radio stations on weekends are ghost towns. There's nobody there. It's basically whoever is on the air, and then that's it. I'm walking down the hallway, and there's like a knock on the door and a ring of the doorbell, and I'm like, contest winner or something like that. I go out there, and Brent Musburger is standing there. And I go to the door, and I'm like, hi, Mr. Musburger. He's like, call me Brent. Okay, fine. Come on in. Why are you here? And apparently what happened is somebody made an arrangement to interview Brent Musburger, who was in town for something having to do with the NFL. And the guy who was supposed to do the interview on Saturday afternoon apparently forgot. I got a pretty good idea who it was, by the way. And so I'm thinking to myself, I'm not just letting Brent Musburger get away. So I said, come on in. I'll make some calls, see if the guy who was supposed to do this interview is on his way or anything. And we waited for a couple minutes. We waited for like 20 minutes. It was very clear that the guy who was supposed to do the interview at the radio station wasn't going to show up. So I said, Brent, come on in. And I stuck him in the studio and I put up a reel of tape. It was, you know, reel-to-reel tape back in those days. And I'll do the interview. I mean, first of all, I felt like I knew the guy because I had watched him for so long before he became nationally famous. And I watch football, and I got lots of questions that I would like to ask Brent Musburger. And so we sat down, we did the interview, and it was fabulous. He was a great guy. And I just remembered now, as I'm telling you this story, that in 1985, when the U-Man and I went out to California, to L.A., for that Cardinals series with the Dodgers, I think we all remember Jack Clark's massive home run and Pedro Guerrero throwing his glove down in the left field, which propelled the Cardinals to the World Series in 1985. Brent Musburger was drinking in a bar in the hotel one night. We're running around with our tape recorder, and we just ran right up to him and just started recording. And he was nice enough to give us an interview there, too. And I don't know, what was it, maybe about 10, 12 years ago, Brent Musburger was doing a college football game, Alabama. And they had that quarterback who had the awesome girlfriend. And they kept getting shots of her in the crowd because she was so pretty. And Brent Musburger said something like, oh, the quarterbacks get all the most beautiful women. Look at how beautiful she is. And he got accused of like being a slimy, dirty old man. And I never understood that. You're doing the game? The director says we're cutting to, what was his name? AJ. Oh, my mind is not working today. Carl, get that. Oh, that's right. I don't have Carl anymore. Sometimes I imagine Carl sitting next to me going, check on that. Well, you get on the internet and find out the guy's name. You know who I'm talking about. Anyhow, what was he supposed to do? They got a shot of the guy's girlfriend, and he says, gosh, she's really pretty. The quarterbacks all get the prettiest girls. What a beautiful, look at a hot-looking girl. Okay, he was probably like 70 at the time. So what?
Particularly during the 1970s, you guys were the only show in town. The NFL Today. You guys were superstars. And for a lot of people, they would probably recall you having really set the precedent, having invented the beast, so to speak, in terms of the NFL pregame show. Yourself, Jimmy the Greek, Irv Cross, Phyllis George. I guess I wouldn't be going out on a limb here to say that was probably the greatest days of your career. True?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because we were in on the beginning of something, and it was, like you said, the only game in town. So it was such a high-profile show. Which I came to realize probably in the middle of it, you know, in the middle of 70. I didn't realize it at first. I just thought it was just another show on television and sports fans would be interested.
Really? So it took you that long before you realized that people were walking around you know, it's like 11:25, and people would start getting the jitters if they weren't back from the supermarket.
Exactly.
The wife sent them out to get a quart of milk and a dozen eggs. It's 11:25. I'm going to miss that. Dun, 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 bum, with your names being thrust onto the screen and that theme music.
Yeah, those were great days for a pregame show. Now, everybody in the world has got a pregame show. So it's, you know, I watch all the shows, especially as we get closer to the playoffs. And there's so much more competition out there now, and they run them an hour. I can't imagine how sometimes, you know, like week four in the NFL season, how they get an hour out of a pregame show, because most of the time, the fan today, he wants the ball in the air. He's looking for action, and there's so much of it up there. Times have changed. I mean, the clicker is prevalent now. In those days, remote control was not even as prevalent as it is today. So therefore, they'd turn it in, and they'd leave it there, you know.
And you also became the target of criticism because some sports fans were saying, well, this isn't about football, this is about entertainment. And of course, anybody who knows anything about what you do for a living knows that that's exactly what the National Football League wanted. It's exactly what the network wanted. They said, we got to open this up to more people. And so what if it's a little show business? So what?
Yeah, JC, the game of football at the professional level is one of the strongest, I would say, entertainment vehicles in this society. Now, certainly movies would be ahead of it. But I got to tell you something. It would be right up there in hot pursuit. When you think of the masses that enjoy professional football, look forward to the games on Sunday, and then Monday Night Football became such a happening, too. So you're exactly right. And the networks realized that, you know, and that's why we had Phyllis George there. That's why we had Jimmy the Greek there. We had things that were away from simply the X's and O's and the cornerbacks covering the wide receivers and that. And it was exciting. It was fun to be part of. You know, there's no question.
Did Jimmy the Greek get a rotten deal?
Yeah, I think so, JC. He got a rotten deal from the standpoint that I don't think he thought he was being racist when he issued those comments. It was certainly an area where Jimmy did not belong intellectually.
If they take over coaching like everybody wants them to, there's not going to be anything left for the white people. I mean, all the players are black. I mean, the only thing that the whites control is the coaching jobs. The only thing left for the whites is a couple coaching jobs.
Yeah, maybe we need to get more black coaches, don't
you? Oh, you're right with me. Okay, well, I'm sure that they'll take over that pretty soon, too.
I mean, some very intelligent men have discussed that. Books have been written about it and things of that particular nature. But I think what should be pointed out is that he had burned so many bridges previously with our management that there was not that safety net to catch the Greek when he fell from the high wire. If a broadcaster who'd never had any difficulty with management stumbled into that particular venue, and I think for sure they would have saved the Greek. But in this instance, they just moved away and, you know, let him crash and burn, which was too bad. It was a bad time. And Greek never really recovered. You know, for some reason, he never was able after that to get over the bitterness or reestablish a foothold.
Not to mention those pipes either. Man, what a voice on that guy, Brent Musburger. That was fun hearing that again. Speaking of sports, it was 28 years ago today, 1993. Carlos Martinez, not our Carlos Martinez. This was a guy playing for Cleveland. He hit a fly ball that bounced off Jose Canseco's head in right field and over the right field wall for a home run. Hit him in the head and bounced over the wall. He stood there and laughed. What are you supposed to do? 27 years ago today, 1994, Bob Barker admitted to caressing the breasts of the Price is Right model Diane Parkinson, but denied her charge that he sexually harassed her. So apparently there's a line that Bob Barker thought was there. Well, sure, I grabbed her tits, but I didn't sexually harass her. Now, there is a dirty old man. And it was 1994, 27 years ago today, Michael Jackson and Lisa Marie Presley got married. 20 months later, irreconcilable differences. And speaking of chance encounters, we're sitting there in the lobby of the Cardinals Hotel in Minneapolis in 1987 during the World Series. And it's a Monday morning and just getting towards the end of the show, live back to St. Louis, and walking right past our table, there goes Eddie Albert from Green Acres. And I just hop up out of the chair. We are in a commercial break and I go running up to him. I explain what we're doing and everything like that. Can you please give us an interview? And he's like, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. And he just seemed a little bit taken aback by the whole thing. And I was really, really disappointed because I had had him on the air on the phone back in, I don't know, 80 or 81 when I was in Omaha, Nebraska. And don't even ask. There's a long story behind all that. But anyhow, so maybe about 10 minutes later, a guy who is like a manager or something like that walks over and says, oh, no, Eddie will talk to you. He'll talk to you. And so we had him on the air, and he was so nice and such a sweet guy. And he was answering all of our dumb questions about Green Acres and Arnold Ziffel. And that's when he was talking about the fact that there's an episode, and I just saw it maybe 2 or 3 years ago, because I watch a lot of MeTV. I watch Dragnet. And the Love Boat and all that stuff. Not because I like it. I'm going into a trance as I watch these old shows, because I just can't believe how bad they are and how we, at the time that these shows were current, when they were new, we sat around on Saturday night and watched The Love Boat. You watch Love Boat now and you're like, I can't believe that this ever passed for entertainment. It's so stupid and sappy. But I love Green Acres because that was funny. But anyhow, the episode I'm talking about was, there was a whole room of baby chicks. I mean, hundreds of them. They just brought in, like, I don't know, a truckload of baby chicks for a scene they had to do. And it was a small room. It was like somebody's living room. And he was telling me how, and people are not going to like this, but he was being honest. He was saying that you couldn't even maneuver. You couldn't even move in the room because there were so many baby chicks. And he is pretty sure that he had stepped on a couple of the baby chicks, but there was nothing else he could do. He also told us that the way that, you know, they would always, when Arnold Ziffel would show up, he would run right over to the TV, turn it on, and there would be like an old Western show or something like that. He said that the pig ran. Angler had a little clicker, you know, and when he would click that thing, Arnold would run over to the TV, and there was a piece of candy on the knob, which Arnold would chew off of the knob of the TV, and then somebody backstage would flick a switch to make the TV go on, to make it look like Arnold turned the TV on himself. This kind of information, folks, you can't get this just anywhere but here on the J.C. Corcoran podcast, all right? Anyhow, Eddie Albert died of pneumonia on this date back in 2005. He was 99 years old. And if you want to see Eddie Albert in a great movie, and he's good in the original Heartbreak Kid, which came out in the early 70s sometime, Cybill Shepherd, Charles Grodin, who just died a couple of days ago, and Eddie Albert. And it you know, Ben Stiller did a remake of this movie a couple of years back, and it was just awful, just terrible, which is a shame, because the original Heartbreak Kid is such a good movie. If you ever get a chance to rent that, do it. You won't be disappointed. And Charles Grodin plays such a worm in this movie. And by the way, Cybill Shepherd, one of God's greater creations. Could be a fireworks shortage for the 4th of July, and they might be a little more expensive this year. Some places that sell them haven't been able to get as many fireworks because of the pandemic. One store in Minnesota said their stock is down about 30%, and they're still waiting on shipments from China, so that's one reason. But also, all the major fireworks shows got canceled last summer, and people bought more of them for backyard celebrations, so there's not much overstock left from last year. Several vendors said expect prices to be 10 to 20% higher than usual for fireworks this year. If you're job hunting, somebody online asked for advice on spotting not red flags, but green flags. Signs that tell you that the workplace at this particular place is worth your time. Low turnover rate. Also, if you visit the office and see employees talking or laughing. If the position is open because the person was promoted and not terminated, when the interviewer tells you the opportunities for advancement and raises, if nobody is wearing a suit or a dress shirt implying a casual vibe. Also, a friendly receptionist, seeing employees take breaks, being told it's okay to make mistakes. The interview process includes a test or exercise to check your abilities. And if the interviewer tells you the worst part of the job, all green flags. I don't know how all of this is happening today, but it just seems like everything keeps circling back around to sports. I didn't intend that to be the case. But, you know, you got Memorial Day coming up. We're going to be here tomorrow, and then we're going to be off until next Tuesday. All right. And one of the things that happens, obviously, is the Indianapolis 500, where Danica Patrick made a little noise a couple of years ago. A lot of people don't like the idea. They don't like her for some reason. And maybe this will change her mind. We had her on the air a couple of years back, 2004 to be exact. She grew up in Rockton, Illinois, just a little north of Rockford. And I know that area very, very well because I spent, I don't know, it was like a year or 2 years in Rockford when I got out of college. You'd think she'd be a Bear fan, but somehow she ended up with the Packers, and she ended up with the Packers quarterback. And I've seen pictures of her recently. I think she's absolutely the cutest thing ever. And she's a yoga enthusiast. And she can do stuff like, you know, stand on her head and stand on her hands and do these poses and everything like that. Not only is she into yoga, she's really into yoga. And, you know, you start thinking about an NFL quarterback in the peak condition of his life and then somebody who is basically a yoga freak. Can you imagine those sexual positions? But Aaron Rodgers has moved on with Shailene Woodley, who was in that movie The Descendants with George Clooney, which is a great movie, by the way. And as far as I know, Danica is free as a bird again. Our JC Celebrity A-List interview of the day, Danica Patrick. Parking lot of the radio. Hi, Danica.
Every time in the parking lot. Are you kidding me? You know what? I tried to do donuts in my high school parking lot before I left high school because I left at 16 to go to England. And I tried to do donuts. And you want to know the truth?
Yeah.
There was ice and I didn't know how to do a donut. Somebody asked me to do a burnout one time. I had a Mustang Cobra and it was a manual. And so they wanted me to do a burnout on the street and I couldn't do a burnout. I didn't know that you're supposed to go like flat on the power and then drop the clutch. I thought you just did it really quickly at the same time, like foot down and release the clutch. You know what? It's not. Floor it. Let the revs come way up. Womp, and then drop the clutch.
Well, let that be a lesson to all you children out there who are learning how to do this.
Wow, aren't I a good influence? Yeah, and about my book, anyway, the really inspirational Crossing the Line.
Yeah, Danica Patrick, IndyCar racer here, Crossing the Line, which is out now and going to be on Dave's show tonight. Let's start with that name, Danica, because as far as we can tell, we think it's like a combination of Daniel and Erica. What's the derivation of that name?
Mm-hmm. It's Slavic. Oh. I'm going to sound all smart to you right now.
Okay.
It's Slavic. It means morning star.
Mm.
And I believe it's from, well, Slavic sounds like Yugoslavia to me, but it's something like the Czech Republic. I don't know. I think it's maybe something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So all I got smart for a little while on you.
We will accept that.
Except for the end when I'm like Slavic, Yugoslavia.
We'll accept that as an explanation. I got to ask you, when you wake up on the morning after the Indianapolis 500 or one of the races that you perform in, what sort of shape are you in? You know, you always talk to professional athletes, football players, even in some cases baseball players, if there's a collision or something like that. And for a long time, there's always been an argument about whether or not people who race cars are athletes. What sort of condition is your body in the morning after?
Well, I'd recommend people to try it. I think it's although it's very hard to sort of try out IndyCar racing. So it's the state that I wake up in the next morning has to do with how well I do. You know, after the Indy 500 last year, it wasn't so well. But
your physical body, are you
physically
you beat up after
you are,
a race?
You know, usually you're a little dehydrated the next day. We sweat so much, and it's hard to replenish as much as we need in the time frame that we have. So, and to be honest, I've actually gotten sick after the race from drinking water.
Danica, you drive for David Letterman's team. How involved?
And Bobby Rahal.
And Bobby Rahal, yes.
Uh-huh.
Who was?
I know y'all want to say just David Letterman, but
Bobby was a great driver himself for a long time.
Absolutely.
What's David like as a boss, and how involved is he in you actually driving that car?
Honestly, we don't obviously see him as much as we see Bobby. I mean, David is a very famous guy with a well-known show, and he has many things to do. But we do see him at the Indy 500, and it's not the easiest thing for him to come to the racetrack and cruise around and stand in the pits. I mean, people are constantly watching him, taking photos, but I know he watches at home all the time, and he's a good boss. He doesn't try and tell us how to what changes to make on the race car to make it go well, and nor do we tell him what jokes to say. So.
Good arrangement.
Danica, I'm sure that this is something you deal with a lot in the book Crossing the Line, but about leaving home, not just your home, but your country at age 16 and how that was for you. And then I'm just curious if you passed your driver's test, the written and the practical in the first try.
Well, you know what? If I did my driving test in England, I might not have passed. I've heard of, you know, there have been Formula One drivers in the past who haven't passed their test. So, I went over to England at 16 and it was tough, but, you know, driving test I passed in the States.
Please take this in the spirit that it's intended, but how much does your mega babe status get in the way of, you know, keeping your eye on the ball and keeping other people's eye on the ball and focusing on what you're doing for a living and racing the cars as opposed to just walking around looking so.
Well, I'm just like totally blushing and just flattered that you say I'm a mega babe. I haven't heard that one before. So,
then you're not listening yeah.
Tell
very
me,
carefully.
Seriously, girls, it's not hard to sort of hear people say that you're a mega babe, is it? I mean,
well,
it's
I've
just
never
not.
Experienced it, but I'm sure
I haven't either till today. But I'm gonna say you guys are mega babes, and you're gonna tell me that it's not distracting at all. You're gonna go, wow, thanks, and you might actually hold your head a little higher. So
yeah, but you know what I mean.
Fit out the door. It's all your fault.
You're trying to get people to concentrate on your racing career, and people are just going like that, you know, when they're around you.
But then, see, they can't see me inside the car, so they're forced to watch me turn around and around.
Yeah, she's got the helmet on, and yeah,
they watch that, and they go, "See, that's the lure. That's what's hot. That's what's hot is that you can get strapped into your car and be this whatever mega babe or whatever, and then go drive your butt off and drive with the boys and do well and do something that some other chicks haven't done confident while doing it. I think that's hot.
Danica, thanks for spending a little time with us here in St. Louis.
Not a problem. Thank you.
I have one more racing thing to play for you on tomorrow's podcast, and you'll really, really enjoy this. I just recently heard it for the first time in, I don't know, 20 years, and I laughed my ass off. That'll be coming on tomorrow's podcast. All right, that's it. Please continue to spread the word. I know a lot of you are helping us out. I really do appreciate it. Just tell people we're here, especially fans of the old radio shows will enjoy the podcast, I think. So let them know that we're here at jcontheline.com every weekday morning. As I said, we'll be here tomorrow, and then we're going to take a couple of days off of the holiday and back on Tuesday. So we'll talk to you then. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
JC Corcoran Podcast.